Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Darlene A. Clark with Sick Call In. I am calling in. Got to get someone in here so I'll be able to start this show. Give me a few minutes, please. For anybody that wants to call into the show and ask questions, ask for prayers, I will give you the phone number briefly.
Yes.
Hello there, Reverend.
Yes.
William Smith.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to introduce yourself and say what this is about?
That will be fine. Let me say good afternoon. My name is William Howard Smith. I'm a retired pastor of some 44 years, raised up in the Wesleyan tradition, and what this ministry is about, we call it Sick Call, and Monday through Saturday, I believe at 2 p.m. Central Time, we have a 30-minute segment where there will be prayer for the sick, and listeners will have an opportunity to call in. There'll be scripture reading and a brief message. And also, you have an opportunity to share with us any concerns that you may have that we can pray for today, if not today, but as well as on either and all episodes. So I'm looking forward to do this, and I appreciate the splendid assistance of a young lady who knows more about this than I do. And I'll let her introduce herself. I know it's Darlene J. Clark, but she can tell you more about herself.
First, I want to give the phone number for the guests to call in so that they'll be able to have a prayer request. The phone number is 563-999-3629. Again, the phone number is 563-999-3629. Well, I'm Darlene J. Clark, and I'm an advocate against abuse. I'm about helping others, even though I may have a horrible story behind my life. It's still awesome because I survived. God had brought me through this through a lot of prayer and my belief and faith in Jesus Christ and our Lord above.
All righty. So, again, we welcome you to the first podcast sponsored by the Power Chapel Memorial Center. And this is located at 119 Power Chapel Road here in Pulaski, Tennessee. And it's just 2 miles east of the city of Pulaski, going out 31A towards Cornersville. And you turn right on Power Chapel Road. And there's a little curve to the left, and you at the street, and then on the left-hand side, there's a white block facility. So let us begin with prayer, and then there'll be a scripture reading from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. And verses 20 through 21. Let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we call upon thee first to say thank you for giving us this day, a day that we have never seen before. As we come together, let us be in single mind and purpose. Fill us with the joy of fellowship, and help us, O God, to have the assurance that we have an advocate who is Jesus Christ, who pleads our case, the one who has forgiven us of all of our sins, and intercede for all of us. May our worship today be a reflection of eternal life that we're in possession of, which you have revealed to us, an offering of gratitude and commitment to your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, we pray. Amen. And from the Holy Writ, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the door locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. This is the reading. May the Lord bless you, the hearers, and the reader of his most inspired word. From John 20th and verses 19-31, a thought for today: encounters with the risen Lord. Encounters with the risen Lord. We explore the setting of the disciples post-resurrection, emphasizing the fear, doubt, and eventual transformation that they experienced through Jesus' appearance. John 20, chapter 19 and 20 shares with us that peace is proclaimed. Consider how Jesus' peace transforms our own fears and uncertainties, especially in the time of turmoil and doubt. During the years of treatment and monitoring cancerous growths, the nearness of death and daily health problems weighing on me, I experienced peace, and my terror became tranquility. Because Jesus allows peace that goes beyond my ability to understand to be the occurrence of a person who just has faith the size of a mustard seed. John chapter 20 and verses 20 and 21 points us to the fact that proof has been provided. Jesus presents his wounds as undeniable proof of his resurrection, converting skepticism into belief. I have a friend who would never, ever fail in his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is constantly having to witness to adults who are searching for a relationship that is everlasting, but are torn between giving up sin and walking away from their being just a tool to be used. Whenever my friend looks in a mirror, he has a permanent scar from a near-fatal car accident. But the power of a loving, caring friend named Jesus saved him. John chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, it shares with us that a purpose has been propelled. Jesus empowers and commissions his disciples, redirecting their aimlessness into a clear mission. Draws from the well that never runs dry of the water provided by Jesus Christ. Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit to guide and empower you daily. And fourthly, John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29 shares with us that we're to be persistent in being in the presence of the Lord and the proof that we have. Thomas's journey from doubt to faith upon encountering the risen Christ illustrates the enduring nature of Jesus' presence and the transformative impact of firsthand experience with him. I have two friends who work out at a gym every day. Both are persistent in becoming transformed by the renewing of their mind by being persistent in reading and studying the inspired word of God, and they're able to declare their faith and their reliance upon the tangible proof of Jesus' presence in their life's journey. This journey from fear and doubt to peace, belief and purpose, as depicted in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, mirrors our own spiritual journeys. It underscores the enduring presence of the risen Christ and his transformative impact on our lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your peace that calms our fears, your proof that strengthens our faith, and your purpose that directs our lives. Help us, like the disciples and Thomas, to move from doubt to declaration, from confusion to clarity, and from fear to fulfillment in your presence. May the reality of your resurrection continually transform our hearts and minds, leading us to have confidence and courage as you witness in the world. In your holy name and resurrection, the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. So it is important that we exercise our faith, that we testify to what we've experienced, and to let folk know the answers to our problems when we have trusted Jesus Christ. No matter what the problem, there is a problem solver, and the name above all names by which our salvation has come and power is obtainable is in the name of Jesus. All right. All right, Sister Darlene.
Yes, sir.
Now, you have to tell me, because I can't see it on the screen, as of yet, have we had any persons to call in desiring prayer?
No, we haven't had any call-ins at the moment. Again, let me give the number out, 563-999-3629. Again, the number is 563-999-3629. I do have a couple of people that have asked for prayer that would not be able to call in, and I'll be glad to tell you their names, and we can pray for them as well. My friend William Pennington, he is in a nursing home. He still cannot walk. He almost passed away Christmas Day, but thank God the Lord led me to go there and check on him, and then I was able to notify the system because they weren't paying attention, and he was having multiple strokes, and but because his diabetes and everything. He's going through a lot of trouble. So yesterday when I went and seen him, when I went to just hold him, just to touch his hand or anything, he screamed out in pain, because anywhere you touch now, he is in constant pain. So please pray for him. And then I have other people that's dealing with stage 4 cancer. Yes, several.
Alrighty.
Well.
And I think you said, his name was William.
Yes, sir.
It's in the nursing home. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And there's a gentleman over in West Tennessee. He experienced burns over 70% of his body about 4 days ago, and he was placed on a ventilator. And as I understand it, he is off the ventilator. But from years past with having relatives in burn units, it's going to be a long process because there'll probably be skin grafts and so forth. And his last name, well, Brother Flippin. And he's over in West Tennessee. And the gentleman that you mentioned, I think that may be the person that's down in Alabama.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And then there's a young lady in her 40s. She resides in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And she has a muscular problem. She's not able to walk. And her last name would be Shaw, and she experiences constant pain. And she's been from Vanderbilt to other facilities, and they haven't been able yet to exactly pinpoint the problem. And you know, of course, a situation like that would cause you to become depressed. So we want to lift up Sister Shaw in our prayers. And then there's a lady in Davis County. Her name is Gloria. She's in her 80s. And probably 10 years ago, she experienced a fall as a result of some mischievous students. And she has some neurological problems. And she has a court battle with her employer dealing with disability. And so we want to lift her up in our prayers. Then there is another young lady in Murfreesboro. I'm 71, she's 6 months younger than me. And she, a week ago today, had a fall, and she broke her collarbone as well as her pelvic. And she went from the hospital to rehab. So we want to lift up Sister Gloria Ann in our prayers. And we'll call upon the Lord in behalf of Brother William, Brother Flipton, Sister Cheryl, and Sister Gloria up in Madison, Tennessee, and Sister Gloria Ann in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. May we pray. Oh God, the one who knows all about us, Lord, we lift up to you our brother down in Alabama. You know what he's going through. You know what he encounters when he is unattended by staff there at the health facility. We ask in Jesus' name that you would grant him thy presence and give ease to his mind that is suffering. We ask, oh God, that you go over in West Tennessee and be with Brother Flippin. Less than 2 weeks ago, he experienced an accident which caused him to receive burns over 70% of his body. Work through the medicines, work through the IVs, work through the intensive care that he's receiving. Be with his helpmate and thank you, God, for the thumbs up that he gives to his loved ones. And be with his sisters and his brothers. They are in possession of strong faith and by means of their faith and likewise our coupling with them. We petition you, O God, in the name of Jesus, that you grant him ease from pain and grant him a attitude where he's solely trusting you, because thus far you have not failed him, and we just say thank you. And Lord, we ask that you would be with little Miss Shull up in Rutherford County. You know her condition, and we ask, O God, that by way of the Holy Spirit, that you would whisper in her ear to let her know that you are abiding with her. We ask, O God, that you likewise work through her father, who is in possession of a strong faith. He knows what you have done. He knows that you care. He knows that you can. We thank you, O God, for him having a Christian mother who prayed for him, and while he was out there in the world doing this, that, and the other, by way of the Holy Spirit, you sent a rope to him, and he had a mind enough to grab hold of that rope. And since he accepted Jesus Christ personally, he has not turned back, and he still continues to be a good example before his daughter and her condition. Be not only with little Michelle, but you know the marital relationship that she participates in. So we ask in Jesus' name that you regulate the mind of her husband. You know his circumstances, his environment that he was raised, but you are a change maker. And we ask, O God, that you continue to specialize in doing impossible things. And we lift up to you, Sister Gloria Mitchell, up in Madison, Tennessee, who is experiencing situations of lost memory. And she once was articulate with her speech, but she has a problem communicating. But we thank you, God, that thus far on her journey, she knows that you are the God who still is able, that the Holy Spirit still leads her and guides her, protects her, and gives her those things that she is in standing in need of. And we ask, oh God, that you go up to Rutherford County, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and be with Gloria Ann Smith Brooking Duke. You know about her fall. You know about her brittle bones. But Lord, we thank you for her faith. We thank you, God, for the foundation that she has built her life upon. We thank you, God, for the love and the power that you channel through her children. And we thank you, God, for their faith. And here we are touching and agreeing that you will allow things to occur in the lives of Brother William in Alabama, in the lives of the young lady in Murfreesboro, in the lives of Brother Flippin in West Tennessee, in the life of Sister Mitchell in Madison, Tennessee, and in the life of Sister Duke in Rutherford County. Lord, what a difference you've made in our lives. Thank you, God, for how well that you protected our sister who was battered and abused, Sister Clark. And we thank you, God, for using her in such a way that she can bring hope to others who just can't understand why we know that God is real. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for a made-up mind that we accepted Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and Savior. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you so much for the prayers and the encouragement.
Yes. Now, Sister Clark, you want to give us a preview of what is to come, especially since you authored a book that was well worth what you charged me for it. I thought it was going to be 20 or 25 and ended up being 15. So I got $5 back and was able to go to McDonald's. So I appreciate that. You want to give us a capsule of what your book is about?
If it would have been online, it cost more. But when I have my author copies, I'm able to charge less, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, because I had to buy it too. So. But anyway, that's what changed. But tomorrow, later on today, I will be doing a lesson review on the resurrection. And tomorrow we will be doing the sick call from the tired pastor, William McSmith, all the way every day, 2 o'clock for 30 minutes. The only day we won't be doing that is on Sunday. And the 20th, around 6 p.m., I'll be sharing my story of encouragement, and people will be able to call in and talk and if they have any questions, because I'm here to motivate people, and I know there's a God. God's the only way that I survived all this. It's not my will. It ain't my doing. He made me strong. He made me persevered. He, even though I gave up and I even tried to take my own life, he didn't let that happen. Thank you, Lord, because now I am glad I am not seeing it through the dark shades that I was seeing it through back then.
Now, let me ask you something while I got you. I think we get about 6 minutes. What age did you personally establish a strong relationship with God by means of your accepting Jesus Christ as his son?
It's kind of weird, even though I wasn't taught. I knew that he was around, even though I wasn't taught about God. It's like I'd seen him even as a little kid. So I kind of like always knew that he was there. It's kind of weird, even though I was not taught about him. But I can remember one of the first times that we went to a church. I'm not talking about when we were christened as a baby at age just to go to church and be christened. You know, I'm not talking about that. We weren't really taught about God. We just went for pictures or whatever sake, okay? But as far as the first time I actually put my foot down at a church, the very first church that he took me to, I put my foot down, and it was rocks. The driveways, the parking lots were rocks back then, or dirt, okay, or grass. So I put my foot down, and I go, I am home. That was the very first thought, I am home. That was a weird sensation I had never felt in my life. And so I always... And then I was 10 years old when I decided to go forward and profess, you know, that Jesus is my Lord and God is my King. And I went up and wanted to be baptized and for the remission of my sins and become a Christian.
Okay. Now, I've been encountering young people, for instance, a young man, I'm going to say he's 30, and he was raised in Oklahoma, and I asked him a few days ago, I said, where you hang out on Saturday and Sunday? He said, at home. And I said, you were raised by your grandfather? Yes. I said, your grandfather, did he attend a church anywhere? He says, no, we didn't do church. And so I just shared that because there's so many. Not that they have anything against. They've never been exposed to the witness of persons who have found for themselves a relief, a resource. With my own family in northern areas, I got 227. All right. So I'll continue with that on tomorrow. So be sure to tune in later today as my sister, she expounds upon the church school exercise titled The Resurrection. And I encourage you to participate in that. And, of course, if we have it tomorrow, same time, same place, 2 p.m., as we do sick calls sponsored by the Power Chapel Memorial Center, 119 Power Chapel Road, Pulaski, Tennessee. May God bless you real good.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.